with these children.
They put forth more Bible than you get in these big church buildings around. Amen. Teachers, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep up the good work. I remember my first Sunday school teacher, dear old Sister Rose Knight. And I remember the first time I sat in her class, I can hear her voice now. Boys, Jesus loves you. She's with the Lord. But her testimony lives on. Now we must go from that lovely time with the children to that which I shall say to you. We have been speaking on the subject sowing and reaping. And we continue that subject today. By way of orientation, let us look at three scriptures, please. Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. Verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Chapter 5, please. Verse 19. The works of the flesh. Notice that, please. Works. Plural. The flesh has works. It's active. Full of energy. You always want to do something. The flesh. The flesh. The flesh. The works of the flesh. But come down to verse 22. The fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit. Works, the flesh is active, doing something, on the go. Did you remember the question of our Lord? Have you ever heard fruit grow? Have you ever heard fruit grow? The fruit of the Spirit. It's silent. It works within. It's not loud and it's not noisy. And we have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is. Please notice that. Is, not are. Is. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. It has 9 components. And if one of these components is missing, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You have something else. The fruit, one fruit, is love. We looked at that last time. And today we want to look at the second component, joy. Joy. What is joy? What is joy? Joy is great delight. Gladness of heart. Great delight and gladness of heart. Joy differs from happiness. Happiness depends upon the circumstances. You get good news, you're happy. You receive something nice, you're happy. You get a good grade in school, you're happy. But joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy is our subject today. That uplifting feeling. That feeling of gladness and greatness. You can have joy even when the circumstances are not good. And we're going to see that as we go along. But what we want to do for a while is see why we should rejoice. What are some of the reasons that we should rejoice, that we should have joy. Philippians chapter 3. Why should we have joy? Philippians chapter 3. Who is the subject of our joy? Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is the subject of our joy, of that great feeling, an outgoing feeling, that feeling of deep satisfaction. The Lord is the subject of our joy. Many people around have all sorts of subjects, but you know they don't have any joy. We've been reading recently of some of these great actors and performers and doers of many things. Millionaires, they don't have any joy. But we have joy. The subject of our joy is the Lord. Chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. That's where our joy is. Not in things. Our joy is in the Lord. Another cause for joy, Luke chapter 2. The Lord is the source of our joy. Another cause for joy, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were some in the country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What's the tidings? Which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's the person of great joy. Christ the Lord. He is the subject of our great joy. Born this day in the city of David. Oh my, isn't that nice? Aren't you glad that the Lord was born? Aren't you glad that the Lord came? There is a book written by Charles Stanley. I recommend it to you if it's available. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not come. Oh my, do you know what a terrible state? It's bad enough now. And if he had not come, it would be worse. Aside from salvation and spiritual blessings, there are certain things that are traceable directly to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Homes for the aged. They never had them before the Lord came. Public education. They never had that before the Lord came. Have you noticed that wherever a missionary goes, he teaches the people to read and write, the little children. Why does he teach them to read and write? So they can be great scientists? No, no. So they can read the Word of God. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has had a profound effect upon this earth. The incarnation. Matthew 28, please. Another cause for joy. Matthew 28, verse 8. Matthew 28, verse 8. Or perhaps we should read it verse 1 through verse 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with great fear and great joy. Why were they filled with joy? Because the Lord was living. Purpose, reason for joy, the fact that the Lord came into this scene. The fact that he rose again. Oh, and I like that so much. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke 24, please. Luke 24, verse 34. The Lord is risen. Indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Verse 51. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Why great joy? He was alive. That's cause for joy. The Lord is alive. We don't serve a dead Christ. He is alive. There are many world leaders that are not alive. Muhammad is not alive. Confucius is not alive. And back in 1975, it was my privilege to go with a group, scientific group, to Israel. And there was one man, my God is not Muhammad, my God is not Confucius, my God is Zoroaster. You know about him? He's the God of the Persians. I went over to him, I asked, where is Zoroaster? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. But the Lord is alive. That's cause for joy. The Lord is alive. First Chronicles chapter 16, please. First Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 26. 1 Chronicles 16:26, all the gods of the people are idols, nothings. All the gods of the people are nothings. Psalm 46, please. Psalm 46. Or better, I should say, 96. Psalm 96 and verse 5. All the gods of the people are nothing. Psalm 96, verse 5. All the gods of the nations are idols. Our God is living. Isn't that cause for joy? We serve a living Savior. Not somebody in the grave. He's alive. I find that to be of great satisfaction. He is alive. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verses 10 and 11. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide His presence. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth. Our God is living. I don't know if you get the thrill that I get from reading these scriptures. If they don't thrill you, go home and sit quietly and read them. And you'll be thrilled. A living God, not a dead one. Some time ago, at a hospital in New York, a number of us used to meet at lunchtime. And whenever they came to my table, I made sure that we talked not about medicine. We talked about the book. And we were talking, and one young lady there, Helene Mayer, anesthesiologist, brilliant. I have my own God. I said, where'd you get him? Who made him? And she turned as red as that wall there. She made her own God. My, my, my. The next fellow said, oh, my God is just one step ahead of me. I said, he won't do for me. One step ahead of me? My God knows the end from the beginning. Isn't that a cause for joy? Now turn with me, please, to 1 Kings. And we'll see a little bit about the beauty of our God. 1 Kings chapter 18. We serve a living God. He's alive. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. This is a long reading. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. I remember when I was in Israel, I saw Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is a rugged thoroughfare. We're not going to read it today, but you read it another time. Elijah climbed up to the top of... I wonder how he got up there. And then he came down again. And then he ran ahead of Ahab, telling him that rain was coming. Where'd he get all that strength? His God was living. And if we want strength, beloved, depend on the living God. Don't depend upon these preachers that are telling you all sorts of nonsense. The living God. But let's read on. Verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. I like that verse. That was the verse that led my father to the Lord. If God be God, follow him, and if not, follow Baal. Make up your mind. And if you are here and you are not saved, make up your mind. Follow God or follow Baal. Well, let's read on. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Baal's prophets are 450. One against 450. Who's going to win? One man against 450. Whom would you expect to win? But do you know that one man plus God is unbeatable? One man plus God is unbeatable. You remember David? Little boy came home from Sunday school. His dad asked him, "What was the subject today?" "Oh, David and Goliath." "But Daddy, that wasn't a fair fight." "Why wasn't it a fair fight?" "David was bound to win." "How do you figure that? A big giant and a little boy. How do you figure that David was bound to win?" He had God on his side. One man plus God. Let's read on. Verse 25. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it. For ye are many, call on the name of your gods, for put no fire under." They took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud. He is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or it may be that he's asleep." Oh my, what a challenge. What a challenge. They cried aloud, cut themselves with all their knives and lancets till the blood gushed out of them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." He said, "Do it the second time." They did it the second time. He said, "Do it the third time." Oh, boy. Why did he want all that water on the sacrifice? They did it the third time. The water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and found and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then, oh my, then, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water. We use water to extinguish fire, don't we? But the fire that God said licked up the water. How do you feel about that, beloved? That's our God. That's the true God. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is God." And do you know something? Elijah's God still lives today. And he answers by fire. Try it. "When I prayed my heart's desire, Into my soul he sends the fire. God still answers prayer today. He's alive. We serve a living God. The true God. Another cause for rejoicing. Psalm 16 and 11. Another cause for joy. Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Note, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Didn't you feel good about coming to the meeting this morning? Didn't you experience a certain satisfaction that you can't describe? The Lord is here, and in his presence is fullness of joy. Didn't we enjoy his presence? Aren't we enjoying his presence now? In his presence, fullness of joy. Psalm 122. Verse 1. Oh, I like this one. In his presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad, oh my, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Weren't you glad this morning when the time came for you to come to the house of the Lord? I dare say we were all glad. The Lord is here. Cause for gladness. Cause for gladness. In his presence, fullness of joy. Years ago in New York City, I used to invite all of my associates to come to the meeting. And I invited this associate. And he said to me, I was at your church last Sunday morning. It happened that I was elsewhere at another assembly. I said to him, and what did you think of the meeting? You know what he said to me? I could tell that God was there. Oh my, what a testimony. Coming into the midst of the assembly, in his presence is fullness of joy, and he could detect that God is here. And God is here. And we realize his presence. We worshiped him this morning. We praised him. The joy of the presence of the Lord. In his presence, fullness of joy. Oh, I must move along. Oh, you know what else that gives us joy? Luke chapter 10. Another source of joy. Luke chapter 10. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are made subject to you, but rather rejoice, why? Because your names are written in heaven. Is your name written there? That's cause for joy. Cause for great joy. Philippians, please. Chapter 3. Philippians 3. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. Our, many of your Bibles say conversation. The better word is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. I don't belong down here. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. My home is far away. I'm a citizen of heaven. My name is written there. That's cause for joy. Cause for real joy. Some time ago when I was in school, I was asked to join a fraternity. I said, well, why should I join? Well, wherever you go, you will have a brother who will take care of you and show you around and treat you kindly. I said, well, I have that already. Don't you? Wherever I have been in this country and abroad, I have found brothers and sisters in the Lord. They were very nice to me. Heavenly citizenship. And you know what? When you join these fraternities, the first thing you have to do is pay. I didn't pay anything to be a citizen of heaven. Did you? And the next thing they do is they initiate you. Oh, my. That's when they beat you. I had one classmate. He joined a fraternity. They fractured his nose, and at graduation, instead of his nose being straight, it was off center. Oh, my. What a price to pay to join the fraternity. Another classmate, they beat him so bad that for 1 week he had to stand at the back of the classroom. He couldn't sit. When my Lord saved me, he healed me. He didn't beat me. And it didn't cost me anything. Young believers, don't join anything. You are already in the highest social order found anywhere in heaven and earth. A child of God. A citizen of heaven. That's cause for joy, isn't it? That's cause for joy. I remember a sister in Canada. And she loved the saints. And she was dying. She called her husband, her 5 children, folded her arms to her chest and said, it's beautiful. Isn't that worthwhile? You know anything beautiful down here? You know anything of beauty down here? You know another thing about this salvation, and another thing that gives us joy? Turn with me to Matthew 5. And verse 12. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Oh my. The Lord says, be exceeding glad about this. Great is your reward in heaven. Oh, my, my, my. A reward in heaven. Isn't that something to... I wonder what he's going to give me. I don't deserve any reward. I was dead, sunken in sin. I had no merit. I had accomplished nothing. He saved me. Put me in his service. And by the way, you know, the Lord could do everything. He doesn't need us. He could do everything. Put me in his service and then says, I'll reward you for doing the work. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Being rewarded by the Lord for the work that you do for him. your reward. Chapter 12, please. Chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. I say unto you that every idle word, careless word, that men shall speak, they shall give account of. We're going to give account for rewards. And we're going to give account. Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. What a theme. The Lord saved me and He's given me great joy. He's going to reward me. And I say again, I don't deserve any reward. I didn't do anything to get a reward. I didn't merit any reward. What a joy. He's going to give me a reward. Luke chapter 6, verse 23. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. Oh, my. I've got a reward in heaven. I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder what the Lord's going to give me. Doesn't that make you feel good, beloved? We don't have to worry about prizes down here. We've got a reward in heaven. The joy of the Lord. A reward in heaven. Luke chapter 10. Oh, I like this one. Well, the truth of the matter is I like them all. How about you? I enjoyed all of these things. I don't have to read the comics to be happy. I don't have to look at the movies to be happy. I tell you, there's joy as you go through this book. And sometimes the joy is so great it'll make you jump when God shows you something. Try it sometimes, you'll see. The joy. Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Name written in heaven. Do you know what that means, you know? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Name written in heaven. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 20, I believe it is. Yes, Philippians 3 and 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our... Now, many of your Bibles say conversation. You know what's the better translation? Our citizenship is in heaven. I am a pilgrim and a stranger here. I don't belong down here. My citizenship is in heaven. How about it? That's cause for joy. Cause for great joy. Ephesians 2 and 19. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Oh, my. You can see what this does to me. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints. Heaven is my home. I don't belong down here. I'm just passing through. I'm but a pilgrim here. Heaven is my home. What is heaven like? The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive. I wonder what it's going to look like. Well, the Bible tells us certain things, certain negatives. Certain things will not be in heaven. Let me read a few. You find them all in the book of Revelation. There will be no tears, no heartaches, no sickness. How about that? I won't have a cold. No pain, no death. People never get tired. I don't like that, beloved. Up there, we don't get tired. They carry no burdens, and they never get old. Isn't that nice? That's heaven. There are no separations, no disappointments, and no goodbyes. We'll never say goodbye in heaven. No sin, no accidents, no cemeteries or funerals. That's good, isn't it? Heaven. No undertakers. Oh, boy. Because the undertaker has taken us to be with himself. No undertakers in heaven. No morgues. No crape on the doors. No one ever dies. How do you like that, beloved? Makes you sort of anxious to get there, isn't it? Nothing ever spoils. Don't have to worry about your refrigerator not working. Flowers never lose their fragrance. Leaves are always green. No thunderstorms, no volcanoes, no earthquakes, no hurricanes, no tidal waves, no tsunamis. How about it? I tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to this place. No germs. No fever. It is never too hot or too cold. You don't have to set the temperature. No drunkards or immoral people are there. No illegitimate children. No prisons, jails, or reformatories. No homes for the insane, no homes for the old people. No lustful books or pictures, no pornography. Oh, you're going to like this one. No taxes and no rent. How's that? I like that, beloved. That's heaven. That's where we're going. There will be no crippled, no deformed people there, no blind, deaf, or dumb. No beggars, no diseases, no hospitals, and no asylums. You won't need me there. No doctors. No lawyers. We won't need Sister Hester there. Not for legal advice. No sociologists or marriage counselors. That fellow, Dr. Field, do you listen to him on the afternoon? We won't need him. First place, he needs salvation to begin with. Now, I've told you what will not be in heaven. You say, well, what is going to be there? What's going to be there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We know what's not going to be there, but what is going to be there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. What's heaven going to be like? As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 3 and 4. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. He was caught up into the paradise, heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He was up there. And he heard unspeakable words, incommunicable words, sacred words, inexpressible words. Here was Paul, a master of Hebrew, a master of Greek, a master of Latin, caught up there and heard words that human language can't express. Don't you want to go there? Don't you really feel like words cannot express what Paul saw? And that's where we're going. The joy of the Lord. Time is passing. I'm going to conclude. Acts. Well, before we turn to Acts, John 16 and 33. We know this well. John 16 and 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Oh boy. You shall have tribulation. Now turn with me, please, to the book of the Acts, chapter 16. This will be our final point. There are several other things that we look forward to in heaven. Look them up when you go home. Acts chapter 16. Beginning at verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, crying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. This they did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe among the Romans. The multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates, notice what they did to them, rent their clothing, tore their clothing. Anybody ever tear your clothing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Commanded to beat them. And they were beaten. Anybody here ever beaten for the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't see any hands. When they had laid many stripes on them, they didn't just a lash or two, many stripes, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them under safety, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. When you go home, check up on the stocks. That was a form of wooden arrangement whereby the feet were held together in such a manner that they could not move. And the wooden braces were nailed together Sometimes the feet were bound with thorns and thistles. Now imagine this. Clothes stripped, beaten, put in stocks. What would you do? What would you do? What did they do? Verse 25. They sang a duet. That's what that verse says. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Oh my. The joy of the Lord overcame even the temporary unfavorable circumstances. In this world, beloved, we have troubles, trials, tribulations. Let our joy be in the Lord. Always in the Lord. I think of a brother now with the Lord. Arthur Clark was his name. I met him in Bermuda in 1975. He was a missionary with his family from England to China. The Chinese communists captured him, sent his family home, and put him in solitary confinement. Do you know what solitary confinement is? Put him in solitary confinement. No one to talk to. The poorest of food and the poorest of hygiene. There he was. Next to him was another man in solitary confinement. And on the right side, another man in solitary confinement. The one in solitary confinement on the left lost his mind. The one in solitary confinement on the right committed suicide. And here's Arthur Clark in solitary confinement between the two of them. As I said, poor food, no heat, poor hygienic conditions. Arthur Clark asked the guard, "Let me have my Bible, a notebook, and my pen." He was in there 3 months. For many years, he wanted to get time apart to write a treatise on the book of Psalms. And there, 3 months in solitary confinement, under most adverse conditions, Brother Clark wrote a treatise on the Psalms. If you can get it, get it. It's one of the best. One committed suicide. One lost his mind. The joy of the Lord maintained our brother for 3 months in solitary confinement. I think I'm finished. There is more, but the time does not allow. Let us sing in closing the hymn on the frontispiece of your red hymn book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we have. Oh, now. Let us enjoy the Lord. They killed Mrs. Bhutto. There's fighting all through Africa. Fighting all through Afghanistan. Fighting in Australia. And believe it or not, beloved, it's fighting right in this nation. Did you know it? It just hasn't broken out physically, but the powers don't agree. The president doesn't agree with the Congress doesn't agree with the president. In fact, the Congress doesn't even agree with itself. And I'm going to heaven. How about it? Anybody else glad that it's going to heaven? Away from all this confusion and all this devilry that exists on this earth. Let's close in prayer. Holy Father, we thank Thee for salvation. We thank Thee for the future that we have in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ and with Thee and with the heavenly hosts. We thank Thee for salvation. And while we are here, may it be ours to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed by His blood. May it be ours to live Christ, to wear those garments that are suitable for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this gathering together of Thy people, the privilege of worship this morning, the privilege of hearing concerning Joshua at the Sunday school hour. We are about to dismiss. Take us home to our several places, we pray Thee, in peace and in safety. And to Thee be the glory, the honor, and the praise, as we ask all, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Enjoy your salvation.